will continue on the campaign trail in this half hour, taking a look at next month's primary election. That's right. Did you even know there was a primary on August 12th? Are you planning on voting in Wisconsin's primary? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Turnout is always quite low for primary elections. Why is that? And how can we increase voter participation in primary elections? That's one of the questions we ask you, and we will ask our guest, Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So Wisconsin's primary election, about 3.5 weeks away. Do you think people, do you think it's on anybody's radar?
I suppose if you're the candidate or the mother of the candidate, it is on your radar. But I really think your introduction got to the heart of it, and that's that we in Wisconsin are so used to having our partisan primary the week after Labor Day that sort of fall, kids are back in school, that's sort of a time for politics. And about, I think it was two cycles ago, we in Wisconsin were forced to move the primary up by about 3 or 4 weeks. And that had to do with the requirements of the federal law to guarantee that soldiers overseas would have a chance to vote. And I think it was sort of the wrong solution because it's the middle of August and people really aren't thinking about elections. And I really hope they could move it back, maybe have digital voting by those overseas soldiers so that we could go back to the September primary when it just seems more traditional and more appropriate and there's higher interest.
Yeah, so we had to move the primary because when it was in September, there wasn't enough time, apparently, to get the finalized ballots to troops overseas?
You've got it exactly accurately. And I remember that when they said there wasn't enough time, it was based on essentially 19th century kind of technology. In other words, you certify the results of the primary, you print up the ballot in a hard copy, you mail it by snail mail to the soldiers and other service people. They then fill it out, mail it back. Now, think of how much time is being used up by that. And it's understandable under old technologies, but nowadays we could surely create a system where they can vote online and that there would be sort of guarantees of security and privacy and lack of fraud. And then it could all be done almost instantaneously. And I sure hope we'll see some effort to change the laws to bring them up to date to technology. But in the meantime, we're stuck with this middle of August primary. And you're absolutely right. It's sort of hard to be interested when you're on vacation, you want to travel. It's the long, lazy days of sitting out in the backyard with a barbecue. So I'm really fearful that even though there are some very important primaries coming up, and I like Sean's list towards the end of some of the important state Senate primaries, that there might be only 10 or 15 or 20% turnout compared to, let's say, when we get to November, when the governor's race will probably generate a 60% turnout.
Yeah, and I was going to say that even, and boy, I think we maybe we have a little bit of a news story here that you're proposing this digital digital voting for our military, or did somebody else come up with this idea, Mordecai?
I doubt it's original, but if you want me to, I'd be glad to take credit.
All right, there we go. So that's your proposal, so we can move our primary back to when it feels a little bit more like fall anyway. But even when it was in September, though, Mordecai, we might have had a little better turnout or maybe a more interest at that time. But we still had pretty low turnout in our primaries, didn't we?
You're right. And my political career occurred when we had September primaries, and I was from a one-party district here in the city of Milwaukee, which tilted to one party. And so for races for the state legislature in the city of Milwaukee, the Democratic primary was really the election, just like if you move over to Waukesha County, the Republican primary is the election. And so it had low turnout. There were fewer voters who I had to campaign towards winning. And that just sort of just doesn't seem right. Why is it that people are interested in, let's say, a November election, but in a one-party district, the primary is the election, and they're not as interested? And I don't know, maybe all the hoopla about that sort of final game of the World Cup in soccer between Germany and Argentina is an example that so many more people watched it because it was the final, because it would determine who the champion was, compared to the size of the audience watching the earlier rounds. The audience size kept growing the closer you got to the final game, and maybe it's the same aspect of human nature about party primaries here in Wisconsin, that somehow, because it's not the final, people aren't as interested.
Yeah, that's a good theory. And tell us what the consequences are of low turnout elections. What does it mean when the base essentially chooses the candidates?
That's a great point, because in modern political analysis, we often talk about the base. And so it's common place wisdom in politics to view the people who vote in Republican primaries as more conservative than people who vote for Republican candidates in a general election. And conversely, that we view the Democratic primary voters as more to the left than people who vote Democratic in November elections. So that means that there's a kind of a built-in dynamic to elect more, to select in those primaries more ideological people. And especially in one-party elections, if the primary is it, then that's the end. And so we end up with politicians from one-party districts who are much more on the farther side of the center than the closer side of the center. And so I'd really love to see ways that that could be balanced out. And when a candidate who wins a primary in a one-party district knows that the November election won't count, knows that it's such an overwhelmingly one-party district that they'll win no matter what their views, then we end up with more ideological members of, let's say, the state legislature.
And do you have any thoughts as to, besides the digital voting for the military, anything that can be done to encourage more people to vote in primaries?
Well, I think it would go against sort of the current views of the majority party. I mean, right now, Republicans, generally speaking, say that they're very concerned about voting fraud, and therefore that there's a need for all kinds of restrictions to prevent voter fraud. Now, I'm sure that in your audience, people have views on that one way, agreeing with it, or the other way, disagreeing with it. But when you think about compounding the sort of lower average interest in primaries with all these new regulations and restrictions of fewer voting hours and the possibility of voter ID and stuff like that, I think it's a further discouragement to voting. I really wish that restrictions on voting weren't viewed as a partisan issue. It seems to me that going to vote should not be as tough as getting into an airport. It seems to me that as a professor of government, we want people to vote. We want to encourage people to vote. And so I would go in the opposite direction. I would have longer voting hours. I would make it easier to vote. I'd make it easier to have absentee voting or early voting. And I think those kinds of modest, mild reforms might increase primaries, but it still is the issue of being stuck in August. I think that is a problem.
Yeah. Do you want to chastise the media in any way for not doing enough on the candidates and the issues in terms of the primary election?
Sure. I'd be glad to. But what it comes down to is that if you're a metropolitan newspaper, let's say, and your circulation area is, let's say, 20 assembly districts, or if you're a statewide media and you've got 99 assembly districts, it really is hard to get into the details of these races. And so there develops in Wisconsin journalism this sort of throwaway coverage of a primary where you just give them their names and their professions and give them a quote or two, and that's considered adequate coverage. And so given the difficulty by the news media to cover it, it then becomes up to the campaigns to reach out. And, of course, the messages you get from campaigns are much more one-sided. And maybe a good example is here in the Milwaukee area where I live. If I recall correctly, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has stopped doing endorsements in relatively minor races. And if I'm remembering correctly, that includes, like, assembly races. And that's a shame. I remember when I was in politics and there was an assembly race coming up, and I was a lousy candidate for the assembly, but I was interviewed by an editorial writer from the Journal, and they did come out with an endorsement in that race. And so I think, yes, I wish the news media, notwithstanding all the new technologies and the sort of diminution of the power of newspapers, could figure out a way to provide a more objective and disinterested voice covering these primary races.
We are talking with Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, about the upcoming Wisconsin primary and what we might do to try to increase voter interest and voter participation in the primary election. Do you vote in primary elections all the time, or do you tend to only vote in the final, in the general election in November? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Is there a particular primary race in your neck of the woods that you are particularly interested in? Let us know. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are on the campaign trail this hour, talking about why primary elections matter and wondering what we might do to encourage more people to pay attention to primaries, to vote in primaries, wondering if you vote in primaries all the time, or do you tend to only vote in the general election? Do you have a primary election in your district, your community that you are following and very interested in? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Mordecai Lee, a professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee and a former state lawmaker. And Darlene in Tomahawk is with us first. Hi, Darlene.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I work the election, so I'm at all of the elections. But my message is, I believe that people want it narrowed down. So that's why they don't tend to go and vote in the primaries. They want it narrowed down for one person for each party versus a selection.
Well, Mordecai, you think that's it? We want it narrowed down.
There's no doubt about it, that it's easier to know that here's the Democratic nominee, here's the Republican nominee, who do I want to vote for when I go to vote in November? I think Darlene is also hinting at something that we haven't talked about yet, and that's that in Wisconsin, in a primary, you can only vote in one party's primary. Mm-hmm. So next month, if people want to vote, let's say, in the Democratic primary for AG, that means they have to vote in only in the Democratic column. On the other hand, if they want to vote in the Republican primary for, let's say, Secretary of State and State Treasurer, then they have to stay in that column for the rest of the day. A lot of Wisconsinites don't like that. They want to be able to vote in every primary that they want to, regardless of which party it is. Now, I happen to be a believer in parties. I happen to like the Wisconsin law. But I think out of fairness, Joy, when you ask for ideas to increase turnout, I suppose that if we permitted people to vote in any party's primary as they work their way down the column, that might increase turnout, although I'd be against that.
Yeah, there could be that mischief going on where a Democrat wants to vote for the weakest Republican or vice versa.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Darlene. It also could be, if, you know, Darlene's saying that we just maybe we're overwhelmed by the choice of three or six or however many people on a ballot. We just don't have time to read up on everybody.
I think that's a fair analysis. After all, we're all busy people. that not all of us like to spend large chunks of our discretionary time on politics. So the average citizen might have less interest in primaries, and as Darlene said, wants to be confronted only with a choice of a Democrat versus a Republican. But I guess I hope this discussion is helping persuade some of the listeners how important primaries are. And in fact, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is that with the most recent redistricting done by the Republican majority in the state assembly and state senate and a Republican governor, we've got many more assembly and senate districts and congressional districts that are one-party districts that, you know, what was the old saying, a yellow dog could get elected as long as, you know, he or it were from the right party. By having these one-party districts, the primary becomes that much more important. Whereas if you had swing districts, the primary would be less important because the two candidates who would win their primaries would have an equal chance of winning in November, and it would also likely draw them more to the center because they would want to win the election with the less interested, less intensely motivated voters.
Let's go to Mary in Gays Mills. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the assembly race in Waukesha, which has five Republicans running in the primary and no Democratic opponent. So it seems like one to watch and maybe to consider voting in the Republican Party primary, whether you're a Republican or not, because there are differences among them. And it seems like the person will become an assembly member with maybe 10 or 15% of the electorate's vote.
Yeah, there we go. There's one of those one-party districts, apparently, Mordecai.
And Mary's really onto something. First of all, she's reminding us that even though we believe that majority wins, you know, the person who gets the most amount of votes in November wins, that that's not the case in Wisconsin's primary laws, that a person with, as she said, 15% of the vote might be the person who has the plurality, who has more votes than anybody else, and then they become the nominee, and then they become the elected official. And we recently experienced there was a runoff primary down in, where was it, Mississippi or Alabama?
Mm-hmm.
A runoff primaries happen when nobody gets a majority of the votes in the primary, and I think that's a great law because it means that you're narrowing down the field to the two most viable candidates, and then you actually choose. And believe it or not, in Wisconsin, one of the La Follette reforms, I think it was about 1909, they had what's called second choice voting, so that if you had a big field of a primary like Mary's, you would vote for your preferred nominee, preferred candidate in the primary, and then the hypothetical would be, well, if your nominee gets sliced off because he or she got the least number of votes, who would you then have voted for? And so it's called second choice voting. And it turned out that city clerks and county clerks hated it. It was very complicated in those days without any of the modern technologies, and it got repealed by the 1912 election. But I think Mary's right. And the other thing we should remind people who are listening is the fact that while in Wisconsin you can only vote in one party's primary, that we in Wisconsin don't have party registration. When you register to vote, you don't have to declare what party you're affiliated with, as they do in so many other states. And so Mary's right. Anybody who lives in that district, regardless of whether they consider themselves affiliated with a party or not, can vote in the Republican primary that day.
So, Mordecai, I'm not expecting you to list every single hot race in the primary around the state, but specific, you know, reasons why in Wisconsin we should vote in the primary this August 12th.
Well, I guess I'd say that if you like baseball, you probably don't just follow the World Series. You probably follow what used to be called pennant races or championship races. Same thing here, and especially if you live in a one-party district. The primary is the election. And so for the same reasons that you choose to vote in November, because you want to have a voice in democracy, I think now with so many one-party districts and these hot primary races, you'd also want to vote in August, even though it's a pain in the neck.
Might it be in a place where there's a hot race, and there are certainly a handful of them? There is a congressional seat that's open in Wisconsin, the 6th Congressional District, and there are four Republicans running for that job to try to replace a retiring Congressman Tom Petri. There will be a Democrat running in November as well. But how might turnout in that primary be? I mean, that might be, we might have more turnout in something like that than in a district where there's nothing much going on.
That's a great point, that in a sense, a fight generates attention, and attention generates turnout. And so, for example, I'd guess in that Republican primary in that congressional district, you might have a turnout of, let's say, 30-35%, whereas in the areas that don't have such a hot primary, you might only have a turnout of, say, 10%. Generally speaking, a hot primary indicates that the primary is the election. And so it would draw our attention. The exception to the rule is probably the AG Democratic primary. I don't think there's any guarantee that just because there's a big Democratic primary for AG, that means that the Democrats will win in November. But otherwise, it tends to mean it's a one-party district and the primary is it. And if you want to make your voice count, you want to make your vote count, go in August.
Yeah. We have... I guess we just have a minute to go. I don't know. Do you think that we're going to have above, below, or about on par primary election turnout this year?
Well, you know, because we've only had August primaries for a couple of cycles, it's hard to go back into the statistical data. Generally speaking, when we had September primaries, the turnout was around 30% or so. The September primaries, the August primaries have tended not to have that, although it's hard to tell what the secular trend is. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll be seeing these blips. Where there's a hot primary, there'll be a turnout. Where there isn't, there won't be. If I had to make a guess, and I hope you'll erase this tape if I'm wrong, I'll guess that there'll be about a 20% turnout statewide.
We'll talk again. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Mordecai Lee, professor of governmental affairs at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker. We will be holding candidate forums for the candidates that have races before the primary. We'll be holding those August 4th through the 10th. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.